God has been having me share with you about what we need to be doing during these end times that we are living in, right? Just a reminder, the end times by definition is the time between when Jesus ascended back to heaven and the time that he will return. Okay? Have some questions. Do you believe that Jesus invaded our world and put on flesh as a baby? Do you believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus was buried and on the third day he walked out of the tomb? Do you believe we're living in the end times? Do you believe that there is nothing that stands in the way of Jesus appearing in the sky and calling his church home? That would be the rapture, right? You don't see the word rapture in the Bible, but you certainly see the message of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 and 18 says this, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." There's one thing I can say without a shadow of a doubt. Every single day that we're here, we're getting closer to that day. Don't know when that day will be. But I can tell you every day that we're here, we're getting closer. But like I said several weeks ago, the church, people, truly the people I believe everywhere, have checked out on this idea and the reality of this day. They're not living like it could happen today. They're not living like it could happen tomorrow, right? I want you to know that the day is coming. I'm not here to tell you what day it is, because I don't know. And if there's anybody in this world that tells you they know, then I don't think they know God. I'd turn and run from them very quickly. But it could come today, it could come tomorrow, it could come in weeks, it could come in years, whatever. But we know that the day is approaching because God's word says that it's approaching. The times we're in prove that it is coming. Now, many of us sitting in these pews this morning see the day approaching. We're in it, right? You see the day approaching, and some of you are not really concerned with the day approaching. But we should be. Hebrews 10, 22 through 25 says this, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You believe that we're living in the end times, right? In all honesty, you could take your last breath before I finish this message. Hope that doesn't happen. But the reality is we just do not know when the Lord's going to call us home or call all of us home. Church, the important part, I believe, as I have, you know, I'm asked this question all the time about the end times and look at the times and blah, 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 all these things. Let me tell you something. I'm not so much concerned about what the times look like, or I'm not so concerned about the signs of the times, because the reality is it could get a lot worse. It may not get a lot worse. Nothing stands in the way of Jesus returning. I tend to kind of lean towards the church is going to be out of here, and then 7 years of hell is about ready to happen. But I won't be here to see that. But there will be a lot of people who will be here. And there will be a lot of people who will come to know Jesus in that time. And the reality is, they will die for their faith. Wouldn't it be just so much simpler to receive Jesus today? You see, church, the important thing about that is we have a very significant part in that as the church. You know, it's so important, church, to understand that we have significant privileges as well. Privileges now that have been given to us because of a new life in Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to write down if you're taking notes is this: we have the privilege to be different. That's the title of my sermon this morning, is to be different. In these last days, the church needs to be different, right? Needs to be different. Because we are Christians and we have been given a new life. Anybody been given a new life in Christ? Well, this side's good. Dang, you guys need to go over here and blend in a little bit. So we have some hands in the air everywhere. No, seriously. If you've been born again, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means I've been given the opportunity of new life. Amen? Now, whether or not I grab a hold of it and take it and receive it and live it, you know, that's between you and God. We have been given a new life. We have been called, I believe, to be different. You know, to be different. We have a personal, we have a personal access to God that the world does not have, church. They think they do, but they don't. You know, just because somebody says they believe in God doesn't mean that they have access to God. The Bible is very clear that the only way you get access to God is through belief in Jesus Christ. And then after that, the floodgates open, right? The floodgates open, and then I get to walk with Him and talk with Him, and I know He's right there with me. A lot of times He's carrying me through things. But the beautiful thing is I have a personal access to God that the world does not have. This is important when you're talking about what the church should be doing in the end times. Knowing that look, you got co-workers, you got family members, you got people in your school, whatever. I mean, wherever you're at, if you are a child of God, you have something that some of those co-workers don't have. It's important to understand, and it's important to know, church, that you have a personal access to God that the world does not have. We gain that access to God through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He is the only way. And now we have the opportunity, as the scripture says in Hebrews, right? We have the opportunity to draw near to God. We have the opportunity to draw near to Him without some elaborate religious system. It drives me absolutely bonkers when I meet with somebody and they go, yeah, I got to go and do this in order to have access to God. And I'm thinking, let's just do it right here. I'm a child of God. If you're a child of God, I have access to God. I don't need to go to the priest, and I don't need to go to the pastor, and I don't need to go to some other Christian to have access to God. If I'm a born-again believer, then I can draw near to Him right where I'm at. I don't need somebody to make a way for me. because Jesus already made the way. You see, you can draw near to God just by being you and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you. You see, church, we have the opportunity to grow in our faith because of that relationship. We have an opportunity to overcome doubt and to overcome questions in this life, right? We can actually deepen our relationship with God because of Jesus Christ, right? And as like-minded men and women, we can enjoy encouragement from each other. That's what the book of Hebrews says. We can have encouragement from each other, and we get this awesome opportunity to worship together. You know, that's the thing. It's like, man, I was telling somebody this morning, man, Sunday's truly the favorite part of my week. And it's not because I get to come up here and preach or anything like that. It's because I get to worship together with my church family. It is a privilege to be able to worship with your church family, with like-minded believers, to come together, to love on each other, to spend time together and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? You see, church, the bottom line is, since we see the day approaching, and it's approaching, you know, I think what the church needs to do is stop looking at the signs so much, because let me tell you something. It doesn't have to get any worse than it is right now for Jesus to return. It does not. What should the church be doing? The church should be about God's business. Don't worry about it. You know what? The truth is, I need to be about His business, whether today's my last day and I'm going to die, or He's going to appear in the sky and call me home. I've seen too many people getting so caught up in looking at things that they're not doing anything. They're not living for God. They're just looking. They're just looking for God. They're going. Remember, I mean, just a few weeks ago, we were like, they were, when Jesus was ascending, they were sitting there looking in the sky. And these two angels came up to him and said, What are you doing? What are you standing around here for? I can only imagine the encounter, right? What are you standing around here for? He went to heaven. He's coming back. Maybe you ought to go start doing something. Right? But since we see the day approaching, church, we are called to be different. We are called to be different. Christians are called to be different. Since you know the day is coming, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be in years, it could be in a lot of years, right? It could be a long time from now. I do not know, but I can tell you for sure. Every day we're getting closer. Every day we're getting closer. And with that being said, we certainly do not know the day that we will breathe our last. I got to be honest with you. I've done more funerals of younger people. People that you would have never thought. Not in 80 years would it have been them. Healthy people. No longer with us. Church, think about that. All the more as you see the day approaching. That's what the Bible says. All the more as you see the day approaching. You know, even when you look at your coworkers, your family members, people that you know do not know Jesus Christ, it could be their last. It could be their last day here. And then I can't tell you how many people I've talked to. Man, I wish I would have just shared Jesus with them. Yeah, that would have been a good idea. You see, all the more as you see the day approaching, the day when you will meet Jesus, whether it's because you breathe your last or because you're joining Him in the sky, church, we need to be living differently. We need to be living differently. We need to be living holy lives, which literally means to be different from the world. It doesn't mean that you're sinless. To live a holy life does not mean that you're sinless. It means that you're different. It means that you're different from the world. And here's the thing, church. I'm not just telling you to be different by abstaining from some worldly, fleshly desire, right? No, when I say, since we see the day approaching, we need to live holy lives, what I mean is we need to be set apart. You need to be set apart for God and not the world. You need to be set apart for God and not the worldly desires that we all have and we all fight, right? I mean, I love what Paul said. I mean, you know, you look into Romans 7, I believe it is, Romans 7, and Paul literally is saying, who's going to rescue me from this flesh? We got to learn how to conquer the flesh. We got to learn how to fight the flesh, to put it to death every single day so that I can be used by God. So we need to be set apart. And church, since you know that Christ is coming and He is coming, you need to live set apart from the world. You need to be different. You need to be holy, right? You know what that means? It can be very simple, church. Very simple. I mean, I need to read the Word of God, right? I need to read the Word of God. I need to study the Word of God. I need to be consumed and saturated in the Word of God by the Word of God. You need to pray different. You need to pray different. You need to walk different. You need to do your marriages different. You need to disciple your children differently, right? We need to be different. We need to be different at our jobs. We need to be different at the gym. We need to be different at our schools. We need to be different on social media. We need to be different. We need to look different. Church, since we see the day approaching, we are to live godly. We are to live holy. We are to live set apart. Church, I am here to tell you that since you see the day approaching, that day being the day that God calls us home, church, do you know what happens after the rapture happens? You know what happens? We start an immediate 7 years of tribulation. Do you know what happens in that time? It starts off seemingly different. But then all hell breaks loose here on earth. Some of the people left behind will find Jesus, as I said earlier. But it will cost them their very lives. They will be beheaded in the streets. It will be hard, right? It will be hard to stand up for Christ, but they will do it. They will do it. Some of the people left behind literally will lose their lives, not just to follow Jesus and be different. If I asked you something this morning, how do you pray? What are the motives of your prayer life? Is your motives to have more of this life? Is your motives to have more of this life, or is your motives of your prayers that the lost would know Jesus? Let me ask you this. What are you fighting for here on earth? What are you fighting for here on earth? Are you fighting to hold on to this life? Or are you fighting to make sure everyone knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior so that they too will get to go and be with Him when He calls His church home? Church, you see, we have to be different. We have to live different. Think about this. This probably hits everybody. How are you being a good husband today? How are you being a good wife? How are you together discipling your children? Are you seeking God for His kingdom to come and His will to be done? Or are we just going to God begging for stuff, selfish stuff? Church, look at your everyday life. Look at your everyday life. Do you see your job as a workplace so that you can gain more of this life? Or do you look at your workplace as a gift from God, where you get to go and work and make money and you get to join God where He is at work? Did you know God's at work in your workplaces? You know what, church? If wherever you are as a child of God, if you're a child of God, then God is at work around you, right? God's at work everywhere. He is always at work. Let me ask you this. Do you look at your spouse as someone you are shackled to for the rest of your life? Because you said I do in front of God, in front of a lot of people? Or do you see the gift that your spouse is? Do you see the gift that your spouse is and you pour your life into them to make their life here on earth a little better? Maybe a little less stressful. You get to spur them on to live for Jesus. What are you doing, husbands and wives, to spur each other on to make Jesus number one? Do you look at your children as something you have to raise until they're 18 and you finally get to kick them out? Or do you see the gift from God that you get to mold them into the young men and women that God wants them to be? Church, you and me have to be different. The Bible says in order to be different, write this down, do not be like the world. Do not be like the world. I want to read to you Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Church, when you were called out of the old life and you were called into the new life, you were called to no longer conform to the world and its ways. You shouldn't be looking worldly, church. The church should not look like the world. And yet everywhere you look, the church looks like the world. You know what, I think, I give the benefit of the doubt, but I think somewhere along the way, somebody decided that maybe the best thing to get the world in was to look like them. Let me tell you something, that's a wrong approach. The world shouldn't look like, the church shouldn't look like the world. The church should look like God. The church is a representation of Jesus Christ. If we're not going to be the representation of Christ, then how are they going to see Him? How are they going to know Him? How are they going to hear about Him? Church, we are not to be like the world. To conform in this context of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to conform in this context means that to adapt one's behavior to fit in with social norms, right? To just look like the world. To conform also means to be similar or identical to something else. The church should be identical to someone else, and His name is Jesus. So when we are out in the world, we should not look like the world. Wouldn't you agree? When you're walking in your workplaces, you shouldn't look like the world. You should look different, right? The church should look different. John 17, 16 says this. Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it, right? We are to conform to Christ's likeness. That's what we are to do. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Church, you are called to be different. You are to no longer conform to the pattern of this world. And we see it all the time, do we not? The constant pressures of the world to fit in and conform to worldly standards. I think we've even went out and we feel so good about ourselves because the way the world looks. Well, at least I'm better than him. No, if we don't look like Christ, then we're not there yet. You see, church, you are called to be different, causing the pressures. I think about this a lot. I pray about this a lot anymore. We see the pressures of the world to fit in our families, to conform to the worldly standards. It causes our families to compromise their faith for acceptance. We see it all the time. I have more discussions today with families struggling with this whole travel ball or activities on Sunday or whatever it is. I have more conversations with families about how bad the struggle is. But I also have a lot of conversations with families who compromise the habit. They compromise their faith. The reality is, there's no sugarcoating it here. They sugarcoat they compromise their faith so that they can have the world. So that they can do all the things that they want to do. Look, you were called out of that life, right? My life is no longer my own. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I don't know how many days I got left, but the reality is, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm guaranteed heaven because of Him. I think I might want to live for Him. I think I might want to be used by Him to make Him known, right? Let me just tell you something about this. This is a big topic in our world today. The number one reason families are struggling today is because they don't want their kids to miss out or to be left out. They don't. More kids are running the family home today than ever before. They are. I applaud the families that stand up against the world and its standards. You see, church, not only should we not be conforming to the world because that's what God's Word says, we need to disciple our children to not conform to the world. That's your job. When you were blessed with children and you're a Christian couple, right? In all honesty, even if you're not a Christian couple, you need to find God. And then you need to raise those little boogers up to know Jesus Christ. They need to understand that following Jesus means sacrifice. Following Jesus means that you don't get to always do what you want to do. Doesn't mean that you're going, and I can guarantee you, you're not going to be accepted by the worldly norm. At all. you will not be. Is it hard? You better believe it. I got news for you, though. There is nowhere in the Bible that you will ever read that Jesus said, hey, following me is going to be easy. That you're just going to have all that you ever need, ever want. Your kids are going to just always be happy. They're going to get to do all the things that they want to do. You're going to get to do all that. No, you're not going to read that in the Bible. No, not at all. What you're going to read in the Bible time and time again is Jesus says, following me is going to cost you. In all honesty, following Jesus is going to cost you everything. Everything that you once knew. And if you don't think for 1 minute that doesn't pertain to you, you got another thing coming. Because if you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, He is going to go to work at bringing you and making you into the follower, to the men and women that He wants you to be. You know, something else, the biblical call to be different and not to conform to the world is not about being strange or weird. You know, I kind of thought that's what it was. When I first became a Christian, I came out of the place where I received Jesus, and I was like, man, I was on fire. It was just crazy. And I just thought that being a Jesus freak really meant that I'm a weirdo. But being different doesn't mean that I'm a weirdo. It doesn't mean that I'm some strange person. When the Bible calls us to be different and to not conform to the world, what the Bible is stressing is the importance of living a life according to God's principles. You know, I didn't know that, and it rocked me. Because what happened is I started to apply my relationship with Jesus to my family and the family around us called us freaks. They said, you can't push that on your kid. You can't make them listen to that music. Oh yeah, I can't. Let me just show you what I do to all them worldly CDs that they have. They're all ripped up. No, you see, to be different and not conform to the world is a matter of three things, I believe. It's a matter of obedience to God. You said, if God says do it, then you need to do it no matter what, right? To do it no matter what the rest of the world thinks about it. We almost buckled because our family didn't agree with our following Jesus. Oh, it was okay that we were saved and it was okay that we were, we were on fire for God, but don't you dare push that on anybody else, especially your kids. We are to be obedient to God. Think of Noah's ark, right? God told Noah to build a huge ark and there hadn't even been any rain. He was obedient. It takes being different, not conforming to the world, takes commitment. Being different is not conforming to the world. It's being committed to God no matter what the world tells you. Think about Daniel. Daniel stayed committed to God and his relationship with God by remaining steadfast in his prayer time. He continued to pray to God even though it was against the law. It was against the law. He was going to be sentenced to death because of it, right? You see, Daniel was supposed to worship the earthly king, which many of us are guilty of doing. But Daniel stayed committed to God despite the worldly consequences. And being different and not conforming to the world is about suffering. It's about suffering. Look at the Apostle Paul's willingness to suffer for the gospel. Paul was willing to stand up for Christ, whether it meant imprisonment or death. So how do we get to a place to be different and no longer be like the world? Number one, you need to renew your mind. You need to renew your mind. Renew our minds. It happens in many ways, including reading Scripture. Do you read Scripture every day? Not only that, I think what we're starting to find out in our lives is that it's just not enough to read Scripture in the morning before you leave the house. No, I need to be surrounded by God's Word all the time. I mean, I need to put it in my truck. I need to have it in my office. I need to be thinking about it. I need to be consumed by it. If I'm going to be different, if I'm going to be the follower of Jesus that He's called me to be, then I need to be consumed by His Word. I need to be in prayer constantly, the Bible says, to pray without ceasing. I need to be in fellowship with other believers. Look, I'm not. What I'm about ready to say isn't for you to invite me to your house, because I'm pretty sure none of you want to do that. But, you know, because, oh yeah, Pastor John, really? Come on. Anybody else? But no, really. Seriously, though, I hear and I see more people having fellowship with the world than they do with their own church family. They don't have fellowship together. It absolutely boggles my mind. Yeah, you know, we're family on Sunday from 10 a.m. to whenever Pastor John decides to finish. And then after that, we go our separate ways and we just don't do life together. That's not at all what God created the church to be, right? Fellowship with other believers to align our thinking on a constant basis, right? So think about this. Who and what and where do you spend all your time outside of Sunday morning? And don't get me wrong, I mean, the church is a lot bigger than just Church of the Lakes. You got your families, you've got people from other churches that you spend time with. Praise God. I hope that's the case. I mean, because the reality is, hang out with the world long enough and before you know it, you're conforming to the world. You are. And oh, and I know how it is because I've been there, because we just justify that conforming. Oh, you know, Jesus be okay with it. No, Jesus wouldn't be. Because the reality is, you hang out with Jesus long enough and your life will start looking more like Him, right? Number two, you need to put on the new self. You need to put on the new self. Look, if you just said a prayer and you think, no, you got. I believe you got to put on the new self every day. Every day. You need to put on the new self. Being different and no longer conforming to the world and its ways requires me to exchange it with something else, right? I got to exchange the old life with something else. This will require letting go of the old life and its ways, church. It's going to mean letting go of some of those relationships that are not of God. It doesn't mean that you don't pray for them. It doesn't mean that you don't love them. It doesn't mean that you don't go out of your way for them. But let me tell you something. It's vitally important that you are putting on the new self. And you have to surround yourself with God. That means His Word, prayer, His people, all the above, right? And just so we know, when you put on the new self and you get rid of the old self, you look differently. You don't look like the world any longer. You don't. You don't think like the world. You don't act like the world. Well, except when you decide to put them old clothes back on. And we all do it, don't we? It's pretty easy, in all honesty, to revert back to them old ways, isn't it? Revert back to them old ways that you, how you treated your spouse before God became the center of your marriage. Them old ways about how you treated your kids before God was the center of your family. Number three, you need to live out your faith. That's what you need to do. You need to live out your faith. Being different, no longer conforming to the world, will require me to live out my faith. And just so you know, it's in practical ways that you do this. Through acts of service, love, compassion. These things will set you apart from the world. Trust me, it will. Number four, you need to dare to be different. You need to dare to be different. What I think the world needs more than anything right now, as we see the day approaching, what I really believe the world needs more than anything is the world needs Christians to be bold in their faith. Go up when you sense God working. Go up and share Jesus through your love, through your acts of service, through your compassion with somebody on the street. If you don't, who will? Church, we need to stand up, right? But just so you understand, daring to be different causes me to stand up against the wrongs in our world that is tearing, I believe, tearing families apart, even if you're the only one standing. I've heard this too. Well, you know what? I really wish it would go this way, but I'm the only one. That's what I hear. You know what, Pastor John? You know what? I mean, I really think it should go this way, but I'm the only one out of 1,000 people that would want it this way. You know what I say? Stand up. Stand up and be different. Stand up, even if it leads to your death in a situation. Right? Even if it means your kids miss out on a little playing time. Or you miss out on that big job promotion because you stood up for what was right. Church, we need to stand up for what is right, even if it means standing up against the entire world. We need to do everything in our power to be a positive influence for the kingdom, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our world. A positive influence that always points others to Christ. I'll leave you with this scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 says this. And this is where I'll pick up next week. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That's where we're going to pick up next week. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenge to be your hands and feet. And though, God, I know for myself, I fall short of that way too often. But God, I do pray in Jesus' name that you would consume our hearts, that you would challenge us to be different in this world. The world is all kinds of different. But God, we need to be different so that we can share your love and your mercy and your grace with everyone we get the opportunity to. God, help us to dare to be different today. God, help us. I pray over our families, our marriages this morning. I pray over our kiddos and our grandkids and our church family. God, I pray that you would help them, strengthen them to do life differently, to love our husbands and wives differently, to love our children differently, to love this world and the lost differently. God, we need you to accomplish this. So God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would just consume each one of us as we move forward from this day forth. God, help us to be different for you. In Jesus' name, amen.